My name's Debbie Hicks. I'm an activist. I've been an activist for must be getting on for about sort of 15 years now. My background was in the Labour movement, the Labour Party, mostly trying to get Jeremy Corbyn elected. That's what I was focused on. But obviously the last 2 years, as you know, sort of things have taken over in terms of our basic liberties in this country and in lots of countries. And I've been an activist in what's termed as the freedom movement. So
Yeah, that
that's
seems
my.
to have crossed boundaries of political parties quite a bit, which is in a way more interesting, since politics for so long has been sort of split between these parties in a quite a bit of an artificial fashion. But look, before we talk about the freedom movement, could you tell me what you think about this report that's out about the way that Corbyn was being undermined from within the Labour Party, the Ford report?
I think we all knew that at the time, didn't we, when he was leader of the Labour Party, that he was being undermined from every level, actually. I don't think it just happened at the top of the party. I think I could see that at a local level, where I was active. All sorts of people that were doing their best to undermine the, if I could call it, the Corbyn project,
Well, this is
project. So
bizarre, isn't it? Because something very strange is going on. Jeremy Corbyn managed to rally more supporters, more votes, in fact, for decades to the Labour Party. He also managed to get, hundreds of thousands of new members in the Labour Party. And yet, what you're saying is that the people who are working for the party saw that as a problem.
yes, not everybody, but there was a lot of people, as you actually know, that joined the party at that time, record numbers actually, I think, if I remember, because they wanted to see Jeremy Corbyn become the Prime Minister, and they wanted to do everything to make that happen. And I was one of those people as well. I wanted to see that happen. But of course, all the newbies, if I can call it out, all this new blood that came in, that and they were amazing people, were pushed to the sidelines. I watched it happen in my local constituency, Labour Party. I watched that happen. There's a mixture of reasons. I don't think it was just anti-Corbyn. I think there is a culture that's developed in the labour movement over decades of control and of fear of change, and I think that was a lot of it as well. It wasn't just Jeremy Corbyn. I think it was this fear of change in the Labour Party, because of course there was a process of democratisation that was happening. That's what these new members were demanding. They wanted to say, they wanted to be active.
Well,
So
it's not just the Labour members, is it? I think, many of the voters want that change too.
No, absolutely. So I think, as I said, I think it was happening on both levels, grassroots and from the top. And that's what he was. That's what we were all up against.
Well, you're
It's
no longer a Labour Party member, are you?
no, I'm not.
So what did you see as someone who was active within the party to make you think, look, I've had enough here?
I resigned in 2017. Just before, just actually after the general election. That was the first one that Corbyn fought, wasn't it? The 2017 one.
Yes, and he did very well.
He did do very well. It was very close, actually. I think it was a handful of votes, wasn't it? And he could have become Prime Minister. But I resigned, nothing to do with Jeremy Corbyn or anything to do with that. I resigned because of what I've just talked about, this local culture of control, complete control, actually, very tyrannical control over members, over activists, over people that wanted to, and I was one of those people. I really wanted to democratize the local party and get people involved, and I just kept getting a brick wall. And not only that, there was it's politics, sadly, and it's the way it shouldn't be, and it has to change, but there was too much ego and competition between people about who was going to be in control, and I found it quite sinister, and I didn't want to be involved any longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to a certain extent, there's politics and then there's bullying. And if it starts to move into the second phase, then nobody wants to be part of an organisation like that. And no one in their right mind, anyway, except maybe a bully. Anyway, look, let's just move on to talk about your. You gave a talk in Bristol, didn't you, on Saturday about the cashless society. I'm sure you were bringing other aspects in, but why is this such a concern of yours, Debbie?
It's to me, it's the most important issue that we face. To me, after sort of when you put together the attack on our liberties on every level, we've got all this legislation going through at the moment about protests, right to protest, new public order bill. You've got the online offences bill. I think it's called that, isn't it? Online offences bill that's going through. There's
Online
all sorts
safety bill,
of
but
bill.
it's actually been put on hold. Well, we shall see whatever the new Prime Minister decides to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. But there's so much going on. But when you put it all together, and when you put all together what's happened over the last 2 years with lockdowns, with the restrictions that came in around COVID and all the rest of it, it to me was all a build up and a sort of process of normalization, getting people used to a system of digital and tyrannical control. Because obviously, there were so many things, wasn't there? I mean, we could that's a whole other conversation, but just an example that I talked about on Saturday was a lot of the restrictions were about where you could walk in shops, in public spaces, sort of controls in terms of getting people ready for a kind of a social credit system, a system of debits and credits according to our behavior, our lifestyle, and what we do. And simple things like where you walk down the street is something that they do that in China. Citizens have to walk in certain places because obviously it's all linked to technology and cameras. So all these controls with lockdown were about priming people, I think, for this new economy, this new digital, complete digital economy that's kicking in. And of course, what's going to go with that is going to be a digital currency. And to me, cashless, which is what that equals digital tyranny. It's going to be complete control of our lives in every way, because to have a digital currency, they need to use us as data. They
Well,
need to track
hang on
us.
though, because say using a contactless card or whatever, actually it's a lot quicker, a lot easier. I mean, there are freedoms with this thing as well, surely. I mean, you don't have to ferret around in your purse or your pocket for cash, mess about with change and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that's one of the main criticisms that we get from the public, actually, is, well, it's quicker with my phone app, my payment app, or with my card to tap. And I get that, because I was one of those people, Tony, that was doing that just 6 months ago. I was the person that was using my card all the time rather than getting cash. So I understand it feels easier. But since I've sort of researched all this and decided this is an issue I've got to get on to, I've changed my habits. And what I do now, and it does take a little bit more time, I agree with you, is I just get into the habit of when I go out, going to the cash point before I do anything at all, getting out the cash I need, and that's it then. I don't have to get the card out. It's just retraining habits. But it's a tough one, isn't it? If people are used to doing that all the time. I was trying to convince my mum yesterday, because she's using her card far too much. I said, you've just got to make sure you get cash out when you're at the cash points, that you've got it for the rest of the time that you're out. But yeah, I agree with you. That is the challenge, is getting people to see that you've just got to spend a few more minutes of your time. And that's all it is, just to walk to a cash point and find one to keep this keep cash king, keep it alive.
Yeah, one of
So.
the other aspects that does trouble me about all this is that there really has been no, absolutely no, zero public debate about how this happens. It's just something which the banks decide amongst themselves. Right, we're going to change this. We're going to go from, chip and PIN to contactless to, and we saw in This Is Money last week a company called WalletMore, which is now just putting a microchip into your hand. And so all you do is you wave that next to the contactless payment machine, and you pay for things using a wave of your hand. So this is all moving in a way which is not really being debated publicly. The most troubling thing about the WalletMore story is that it turned out that the people who were doing it illegally, implanting these things, and they were even using these chips in a way that the manufacturers had not allowed. And so those chips were then switched off. I mean, this is something I think which is not, why has there been no public debate? What's going on?
Because they don't, I don't think they want people to realize what's happening. I mean, people, of course, people do know what's happening. The general public that I talk to out on the streets when I'm campaigning, they're very concerned, and most people, I have to say, want to keep cash. So, and they can see what's happening. They see the cash points closing down. They see that they're being coerced into using their cards and their phones, and they are concerned. But as you said, the mass media, there's a complete there's silence on this topic. I mean, last year, Tony, I don't know if you were aware, there was a campaign where quite a lot of MPs signed up to keeping cash in circulation, and some of the big shops, Marks and Spencers, Waitrose, the post office, were behind this campaign to keep cash in circulation. And what they've done, which is actually really good news, again, people don't know, is that the finance bill that's currently going through Parliament has a caveat attached to it that they have to keep cash in circulation. So that was a very quiet campaign, but it was very successful. So it's which to me is really promising, actually, in terms of, that we can keep cash, because to me it's other issues that we've got to tackle, like the biometrics, as you're talking about. I think that's where it's really going to happen, where we're forced to pay without cash is because of the biometrics. I think that's how they're personally how they're going to do it. But I agree with you, there's a complete silence. We need a public debate. We're not getting it in the mass media, and that's why one of the reasons I'm out there on the streets talking to people and trying to do these rallies as well.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear there is a little bit of debate going on in Parliament. But of course, most people, the way they think is maybe not people who you've spoken to at your rally and nearby or whatever, but it's that, well, we don't really need a public debate about this because it's so much more convenient.
Certainly there's been a few young people I've spoken to who just don't see, I mean, quite worrying actually, when I've actually put it to them, because I always try and ask people questions to get them thinking. When I put it to them, well, doesn't it worry that all your data can be used to track you, to control you, to bring in sanctions against you if you go against sort of rules of behavior that the government and the banks decide for you? I said, does that not worry you? And it's quite shocking. A few of them have said no, they're not worried. And I think, oh, and this is the other thing this has highlighted to me, is that with the younger generation in particular, there is a disregard, perhaps an indifference, maybe that's the word, to the concept of basic freedom. And when I try and have a conversation with him, and like, what does freedom mean to you, you can see by the look on their face, they've never thought about it at all. And I think a lot of that is for that generation. It's never been something they have to think about. Whereas maybe for us, or maybe the generation before us, our parents' generation from World War II, they can remember what it was like for countries to lose their freedom. So I think that's a lot of it. They just haven't got a grasp on what freedom means.
Yeah, well,
And
they're putting all you're putting all your eggs in one basket with the bank because they can completely control you. If they want to, they can switch off your electronic money anytime they feel like it. There's also these programmable digital currencies that they're beginning to introduce, which will say that you can only spend your money on, say, for example, food and water. You can't spend it on transport, this kind of thing, which is the social credit system in China. But I mean, this is getting quite advanced, isn't it, Debbie? I noticed yesterday, this week in the press in Ireland, Allied Irish Bank, many of their branches are going to stop using cash at all. So there will be no cashier in there. It's just somewhere where I suppose you go and you talk to someone and wave a chip at them, and you make some decisions about accounts, but there will be no cash involved at all.
Yeah, it's I did read something about that as well. It's terrifying. It's happening really quickly, and as with everything, when these changes take place, and I think this is what I keep saying to people in the freedom movement, to activists, is it's not like there's going to be one big change and all of a sudden you have a cashless society. They're doing it in steps, and steps that are not even reported, as you said, that there's no public debate about. I'm sure you're aware that the railways are going cashless, all of them, in September. They're closing all the ticket offices in the United Kingdom, and that, to me, that is huge, huge news that we should all be, going crazy about. But it's, again, there's no debate about it. And instead, this is this whole media manipulation that we live under now, and all this propaganda. Instead, yesterday we had complete sort of panic stations about the temperature and a complete focus on that. And I think that's how the media operates, doesn't it? There's always a latest thing for people to be scared about, rather than us hearing this kind of thing that we need to talk about, what's happening with our money,
Did you
with
enjoy
tax.
some of the hot weather then?
I personally quite like it, the hot weather. I'm one of those people that like it, but I appreciate if you're working physically in it how hard it can be. What about you? Do you like the hot
Well,
weather?
I managed to get an hour in Cirencester's open air swimming pool, so we really enjoyed it actually.
Yeah, makes it much more enjoyable
And
if
there
you
was a
can
bit
go
of
to the pool.
thunder rumbling around at times.
Yeah, well, it's a lot cooler today, isn't it? Yeah, it's
Anyway, Debbie, how do people follow your work?
yeah, so I've got a Telegram channel called Keep It Cash, which is a public channel. If you type that in, and I put all the updates on there. There's also a website called Word. It's I've forgotten the URL, but it's Keep It Cash at WordPress. It's a WordPress website if people look under WordPress. And yeah, if they can follow what I'm doing there, because as you know, I'm going around every Friday. I'm going around different towns and cities and working with different groups of people to promote the use of cash, and also to try and get the local groups to do more to save cash. There's two parts to it, really. It's not just talking to the public about using cash, but it's asking them to boycott shops that don't take cash, trying to get local groups to have boycott campaigns, and also I'm now trying to get people to look at boycotting shops that are going to start using the biometrics that we're talking about, because that's the next big thing I think that's going to start, that we really need to get onto.
So what's in the pipeline there?
What you mean, what they're planning on, what
Yeah, what
I'm
they're planning, not you.
what
No, you better
yeah
keep that
yeah
under
no
wraps.
yeah the buy well the supermarkets, there was a press release that went out about, I think, about a month ago, actually maybe 6 weeks ago, that the main supermarkets in the UK, Tesco's, Asda, Aldi, Lidl's, you know, I think it may even been one of Sainsbury's as well, are going to start using biometric technology for you to pay for your shopping. Now, I think there was some sort of controversy about it, and when they were approached, they said, "Well, we haven't actually said that," but there was lots of reports in the press. So I think they're sort of priming people now. They're getting the idea in their heads, this is how you're going to have to go shopping. And as you know, Tony, lots of those shops have already got those screens. They've had them for ages. Co-op's another one. Supposed to be ethical, isn't it? But it's not really. Co-op's got screens when you go up to the self-service tills that are already, I'm pretty sure they're already filming people and recording people. So it's to me, after all the research I've been doing the last 6 months, I think that's how we're going to be forced to go cashless, is we just don't have a choice. There'll still be cash. It'll be a lot harder to get hold of, but there'll still be cash. But it will be that we don't have a choice when we go shopping, and that's where the power of the consumer has to come in, and a consumer campaign. We have to say to those shops by boycotting them, we don't want your biometrics. We want to pay with cash. We want to pay with a human being behind a till.
Yeah, I suppose you can just sort of leave a pile of shopping unpaid for and walk out, can't you? That makes life a little bit more difficult for these sorts of places. Anyway, look, I can't not mention the Tory leadership campaign because we've got, as you as a Labour activist must have realised, as many people have, that most of the real opposition has been taking place within the Conservative Party. We've got these Liz Truss, Penny Mordaunt, and Rishi Sunak. Do you think it'll make any difference who wins?
No, I don't. From what I can see, they're all quite aligned to the interests of the World Economic Forum that's pushing all these changes we're talking about for this digital economy, this digital control. No, I don't. And dare I say it, I've said this several times on social media. I'm not obviously former Labour supporter. I don't like any of them, but I think it's going to get far worse than what it was under Boris now, actually. I think this change isn't just a coincidence. I see it as carefully choreographed timing in terms of the changes that, the banks and the global powers want us to bring in the United Kingdom. So I don't see it making any
I
difference,
suppose
no.
for quite a lot of people, they're thinking, well, we've got a cost of living crisis. I can hardly afford to buy anything. You know, never mind whether it's cash or with a card. I just don't have the money. And of course, Rishi Sunak was pushing for more taxes on diesel and petrol, which is one of those things that anyone involved in economics or politics knows is a massive driver of inflation. And yet Sunak is standing on an anti-inflation ticket.
Yeah, it's yeah, he's certainly ticking the boxes in terms of the agenda, in terms of the controls that are coming in. How I think there's trouble ahead, though, Tony. I mean, already I see that Conservative Party members who hold a lot of power in the Tory Party, because if they're not happy, they're often the wives, aren't they? That's how it works in the Tory Party. They're often the wives of the politicians that do all the work behind the scenes. I can see they're already kicking off that they haven't had a say. So I, you know, if Rishi comes in and does all these things, I can see trouble brewing in the Tory party.
Debbie Hicks, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.